Today's reading is from Acts. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When Paul had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When I grow up, I want to talk like Gary does. Well, we are talking about purposeful living, and we are using as a guide the life of the Apostle Paul. Last week, we finally got to Paul's first missionary journey. And just as a quick recap, we can see on the map what that journey involved. If you read it in the book of Acts, it's from chapter 13 through chapter 15, verse 28. Paul traveled from Antioch to the Isle of Cyprus, and from Cyprus then to the continent of Asia, and went to Antioch of Phrygia, and then down to the small cities of Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. This was where Paul was nearly stoned to death. And then he retraced his steps, and then eventually began the journey back to Antioch. Now, what is significant about that first missionary journey? A couple of important things. One, Paul began to give organization to the church. Paul and Barnabas, when they left a community, they established a congregation. They put elders in charge. They appointed people to lead them so that these communities would become sustaining. So now the church takes some structure and direction to it. Something else even more important. The church became more diverse during this journey. It was during this time that Gentiles, non-Jewish people, started coming into the church, and that was unsettling for the church. Isn't it interesting how diversity always has a way of unsettling the church? For a long time, racial diversity unsettled the church, and in some places it still does. Then women in leadership was unsettling to the church, and in some places today there are churches that do not allow women to serve in leadership. And then, of course, in our day and time, fully welcoming people of same gender attraction is not always a comfortable issue in every church. We have declared ourselves at St. Luke's. Our mission statement begins, "We are an open community of Christians." I like to say open here means open. We welcome everybody. And yet there are places in Christianity where that is not very comfortable. Well, it was not in Paul's day. Paul and Barnabas got back to Antioch, started telling about all of the people coming into the church, and they got called on the carpet. They had to report to the principal's office down in Jerusalem. So they went there, made their report, gave an account for why they have witnessed God at work bringing these people in, and a very important watershed moment for the church. They took a vote, and the outcome of the vote was, "We welcome everybody." Paul and Barnabas went back to Antioch to begin another journey and to take that news to the churches they started. All people are welcome. And then something else happened. Paul and Barnabas got in a fight. Barnabas wanted to take his nephew with him. On that first missionary journey, Barnabas' nephew went along, and somewhere around the middle of the journey, he went back home. He got homesick, or he might have physically gotten sick. We don't know for sure, but he left them. And Paul said, "We're not taking him again. He has let us down one time, no more." They got into such a sharp dispute. They parted company, and as far as we know, Paul and Barnabas were never, ever together again. So Paul takes Silas, and he heads out on this second journey. This map gives us an idea of where Paul went. Again, starting from Antioch this time, he went by land toward the region where Paul came from, Cilicia, where Tarsus is. Then over toward the churches he had founded, and eventually up toward the region of Bithynia. We're going to pause there because that's where Paul wanted to go. He wanted to go to Bithynia. It was a senatorial province of the Roman Empire. It was well populated, and people there were receptive to the Christian message. How do we know that? About 60 years after Paul's life, a local commissioner in that province sent a letter to Emperor Trajan saying how the Christian faith was flourishing not only in the cities, but in the outlying villages. Well, no wonder Paul wanted to go there. He would have been successful there. You know, when we discover our purpose in life, when something deep inside of us says, this is what God put me on earth to do, and we feel that, what's the next thing we do? We chart a course for success, don't we? How can we live out this purpose now in a way that it's going to be successful? I have yet to meet somebody who says, I know my purpose in life, and I am setting out to fail. I have charted a course that I know is going to be challenging and proves for little chance of success. I just don't meet folks like that. We do what Paul did. We say, I believe the best chance of success is Bithynia. But something happened, and Paul could not go to Bithynia. So what happened next? Well, as you can see by the map, they end up traveling across the region of Asia Minor through the province of Mysia, and they end up in Troas. Have you ever been to Troas? Have you ever been to a place that was not where you set out to go, but it's where you find yourself? Have you ever been to that place where you thought you were following your purpose in life, where you had your goals and your dreams, and you knew where you wanted life to go, but detours came in the way? Whatever circumstances arose, they did. And you find yourself in a place that you did not intend to go, and you say, how can I live out my purpose now? Have you ever been to Troas? The other day we celebrated the life of Cheryl West, our beloved director of New Song. She was also the founding director of the Indianapolis Youth Chorale, and former students joined the current ones. And 200 youth were in the choir loft up here to sing for the service. When I got up for my remarks after they sang this beautiful piece that was one of Cheryl's favorites, I thought about legacies. I thought about all of the people who will never have the blessing of knowing Cheryl West, but they will have benefited from her influence because of those young people. Now, why was I even thinking that? Because of the man who was directing them, Dr. Henry Leck, the director of the Indianapolis Children's Choir. You see, 20 years ago in a church in North Carolina, I had a young woman I had known from some years before come to me and say, I want to start a children's choir for our community. I was influenced by a director in Indianapolis one time, and I want to start a choir just like he had, but we need a place to meet. Can we use the church? And I said, well, sure. So this choir got started in the mountains west of Asheville called Voices in the Laurel. They're still going today. There are 100 and some children in that choir in a very rural, small community being influenced by this young woman. What's interesting about this young woman is how she got involved with children's music to begin with. The first time I met her, we were students in college working on the summer staff of Lake Junaluska. Just a couple of years before that, she lost one of her legs in a bicycle accident. She was an incredible high school athlete. She was expected to receive a scholarship to a major school in the country. She had a direction for her life that was charted, how she was going to use athletics to go to the school of her choice, and all these dreams that she had for her life that came to a crashing halt with one bicycle accident. But in the aftermath of that accident, and trying to piece together what the future holds for a 15-year-old who will never play sports again, she fell in love with music. And not only with knowing music, but teaching music. She went to the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music. That's where she learned about Dr. Henry Leck and the Indianapolis Children's Choir, and said, I want to start something like that. You see, in a detour of life, she discovered a purpose for living. Troas is never a destination. It's a place for destinations to be discovered. That's what happened to Paul. Paul ended up in Troas, and he said, now, God, what do you want to do with me here? His dream was to go to Bithynia, a place where he knew he would have success. But if you'll notice in the scripture lesson in your bulletin, it says the Spirit of Jesus prevented him from going there. I wonder what that looked like. How did Paul experience the Spirit of Jesus? Did he like picture an apparition of Jesus standing in his path going, no more, stop? I don't think so. I think it came a different way. I think it came from a cultivation Paul developed of learning to listen to God. Remember how we talked about Paul spent 17 years in discernment before he ever began his work as a missionary? I believe those 17 years taught him how to listen to God and to receive signals when God started telling him, you have a plan that I don't want you to pursue. I want you to go a different direction. Now, Paul didn't know what that meant. All he knew was, for some reason, he was being prevented to get to the place he wanted. But he chose to believe that God still had a purpose for his life. How important is that to believe when you find yourself in Troas? To believe God still has a purpose for me. And so Paul finds himself in Troas. He says, okay, God, how do you want to use me here? And that's where he had a dream of a man in Macedonia saying, come over and help us. Now, you can see on the map, Macedonia is in the upper left-hand region. Paul would have to cross the Aegean Sea, which they did. And he ended up in the port city of Neapolis. Neapolis today is the modern Greek city of Kavala. And in the town square of Kavala, there's an incredibly beautiful mosaic that depicts this Bible story. Here's a picture of it. And a little closer up, you can see how the story is told. There's Paul on the left having his dream in Troas. And in the middle of the picture is the man in Macedonia beckoning Paul, come and help us. And there's Paul on the other side stepping out of the boat into Neapolis. Now, why do the people of Kavala, Greece, remember that story with that kind of mosaic today? Because that's how the Christian faith got to Greece. That's how the Christian faith got to the continent of Europe. I'm sure there are people who really live out their genuine purpose in life, and it takes them everywhere they ever dreamed of going. I'm sure there are some. But I believe the majority of people live out their purpose experiencing detours along the way. Looking back and saying, well, I thought life would take me here. I thought I would go in this direction. And God must have had other dreams, or God used the circumstances that happened to me to carry me a different way. That's what happened to Paul. I lead a Wednesday book study, meets at 10 o'clock in the parlor every week. We're open to anybody who would like to come. If you'd like to join us one Wednesday, please feel free to. We just started Bob Goff's book, Love Does. Bob Goff spoke here on a Monday night this past May. And in one of his chapters, he talks about the rearview mirror. And he reflects on experiences of his life that he really, really wanted, but they didn't turn out. Jobs, hobbies, girlfriends. And he ends the chapter with these words. I've learned that God sometimes allows us to find ourselves in a place where we want something so bad that we can't see past it. Sometimes we can't even see God because of it. When we want something that bad, it's easy to mistake what we truly need for the thing we really want. When this sort of thing happens, and it seems to happen to everyone, I found it's because what God has for us is obscured from view, but it's just around another bend in the road. One thing we can learn from Paul about how to face life when we find ourselves in our own personal Troas is to focus on service over success. Paul went in the direction of success, but when he ended up in a place he did not want to go, he chose to still focus on service and to say, God, how can you use me here? You know, it's hard to see the future when we're looking backwards. It's hard to see and to claim the next thing God might have in store for us when we're having a hard time letting go of a dream for the way we wanted life to work out. And at some point, it takes being able to let go in order to grasp a hold of the new thing God is waiting to do with us and through us. So Paul had a vision. Come, help us. You see, what Paul discovered is, while we can experience detours, all detours mean is we're not getting to where we wanted to go. We never detour away from God's plan for us. We can never detour so far that we get away from God's ability to continue steering us. And Paul says, I don't know why I'm in Troas. I didn't have it on the map, but I'm going to choose to believe I'm still in a place where God can use me right now. I can still serve. And so Paul serves with as much diligence as if he had gone to Bithynia. Paul goes to Macedonia, and he continues to preach and proclaim Christ because that's what God called him to do. God did not say to Paul, go preach and proclaim in Bithynia. He just said, preach and proclaim wherever you are. I mean, don't you imagine that the people in Bithynia spoke differently from Macedonia? Don't you imagine the culture was just a little bit different? That maybe Paul had to invest in learning a new language, learning new customs, learning how to relate to these people. He gave it his all in a place he did not want to go, and look what God did with it. God brought the faith to a whole new continent because Paul said, where I am now is a place where God can keep using me. I had a woman join my church staff some years ago. She moved from Georgia and had always wanted to live in the mountains. She served in her local church as kind of a program director, and we were looking for an identical position in our church. She talked to her husband about it and said, you know what, this is a dream come true. I'll get to do the job I'm called to do in the place I've always wanted to live. So we interviewed her. She accepted the job offer. She moved ahead of her husband while he would continue looking for a job in the mountains because he could not afford yet to retire. He would also start working on selling their house. She got into the church, began working, was doing wonderful work, people falling in love with her. She was loving life, but her husband could not find a job. People started praying about it, asking God to open a door, but the doors would not open. God, what are you doing? We need this person. She wanted to be there. What is happening? They finally decided this is not working out. We've got to stay in Georgia. She resigned from the church, but before she left, she went to see a woman in the congregation who was a renowned Bible teacher. She led workshops all over the country. She went to visit her in tears one day and said, "I just don't understand. I don't know why God wouldn't open up this door for me. I'm in the place I've always wanted to be, getting to do the very thing God made me to do. I know God made me to do this." The woman listened to her. And then she said, "You know, I can't answer why those doors haven't opened, but this I know. You can be in ministry wherever you are. And when you go back to Georgia, if you will do what God called you to do, and that is just to serve and honor God, I believe you will find that you're in the right place." If we always choose to serve and honor God right where we are, we will always be in the right place. Oh, gracious and loving God, when we find ourselves in Troas, help us to remember the example of your servant, Paul, who chose to leave success behind and to focus on service first. Certainly, success followed him, but it was the service that opened the door. May we simply open our lives to you and say, "God, wherever it is you put us, wherever we find ourselves, may we choose to believe that you still have a purpose for our lives, and we can honor you wherever we are. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen."